Hello, everybody. I'm Ava Letario, and I will be the host for the first round of games for the Ho Home podcast. The first game we're going to play is called Love It or Not So Much. And basically, I'm just going to say a list of things, and Joel tell me if she loves it or not so much. Okay. Cruise ship.
Love it, I guess. Ooh. I've never been on a cruise, but the idea of it, sure.
Okay. Flip-flops?
Not so much.
Raisins and sweets?
Raisins, not so much. Sweets, absolutely.
Okay. How about Star Wars?
I am very neutral on Star Wars. I'm so sorry. It's not like a love it or a not so much. It's just like a neutral.
Okay.
I have seen all of them, though, except for like the newest movie, I think. So.
Okay. Good for you. Ketchup on eggs.
Not so much.
Me either. Smell of a pipe.
A pipe?
Yep.
Not so much.
Vinegar taste.
In kombucha, love it.
Uh-huh. Black licorice.
Not so much.
Costco on the weekend.
Love it.
Taco Bell.
Love it.
Board games.
Love, love, love it.
Walking in the sand.
Love it.
Vegetables.
Love it.
How about, I don't know what this is, Twilight?
I loved it when it was the phase to love it. Not anymore.
Okay. Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Sorry.
Neutral? I feel like I'm supposed to pick one, but I have such a neutral.
Disney.
Love it.
Tuna.
Love it, I guess.
I ate a tuna sandwich for lunch today. Making lists.
Love it.
Gloves in the winter.
Love it.
How about snow?
It's hard to answer that question because I love it the first day. And then when it's black and disgusting and I still have to go to work, not so much.
How about mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Not so much.
I'm with you there. Cilantro.
Not at all.
Okay, last one. Do you like working out?
I do like working out. Yeah, love it. We'll say love it.
Okay, well, that wraps up our games. Now I'm going to conclude this or this game, and Mom's going to take over now.
All right, everybody. I am Laura Letario, Ava's mother. She has been begging to be on this podcast since it started, and now she's had her chance. And so, Jewel, those were all contentious items. I feel like the people love her. Not so much.
I agree.
I will maybe eat tuna with you and definitely not ketchup-y eggs.
Thank you. And no cilantro. Thanks.
All right. So this is our second game that everyone gets to play. You get 5 minutes to play it.
Okay.
Two musicians on your playlist.
Why am I blanking on her name? She sings the song We Will Feast in the House of Zion, which I love that song.
Ooh.
And then probably Maverick City Music.
Okay. What was a recent problem that you've solved?
I feel like my whole job is solving problems most of the time. So work-wise, I am in the process of building out a checklist for all of the events I'm supposed to plan for the year. I feel like I have a really good checklist for our monthly events, which is exciting. Yeah. Well, we'll just put it there.
Monthly events. It sounds like a lot.
Yes.
What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
Adulting. I feel like as kids, it's easy to glorify like what adulting looks like. And like, I'm grateful that I'm an adult. I don't want to not be an adult, but it is just different than you expect, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you eat for breakfast?
So I'm really bad. Most of the time I don't eat breakfast. Most of the time I drink coffee.
I thought you were going to say like donuts or something.
No. Occasionally I'll do like a Pop-Tart or something like that. But I try to do a protein in the morning. So if I'm like being good, then I'll have like a breakfast sandwich with like an egg and some protein, like bacon or sausage or something like that, mm-hmm. on some rolls. But often I have coffee with collagen in it and raw milk.
Yum.
With an apple.
Do you collect anything?
Yes, I collect lots of things. So I collect enamel pins, which is a fun thing. I usually get one every time I go somewhere. So I've got one from, like, I went to San Antonio this year, so I have a San Antonio pin. My brother got me some from Avatar The Last Airbender because I really like that. Mm. I've got a couple different weird ones like that. What else do I collect? I think I collect I collect a lot of craft supplies, I would say. I have a lot of crafty type stuff in my house.
Fun. Do you journal?
I do occasionally journal. I journaled a lot growing up, and I keep a notebook for journaling, but I do it a lot less than I used to.
What book do you want more people to read?
Besides the Bible?
Yes.
Let me think. What have I read recently that I really liked? I have been trying to read more lately, and so I read Emma by Jane Austen for the first time, and it was so good. But for any moms out there, my favorite book growing up, that apparently it's also a series now, is The Benedict Society. It was a fantastic read. I was not a mystery kid. I hated mysteries. They stressed me out. Mm-hmm. And I read the whole, there were two books when I was a kid. I think there's like three or four now, but they were so good. The Benedict Society was awesome.
What is the last skill you learned?
I learned how to make sourdough. That's probably the last one that I did. Yeah.
Do you eat it, or did you just learn to do it?
Oh, I eat sourdough. Okay. I like make it on a regular basis now. So I make it like once a month. I make like three or four loaves and I just freeze it. So I don't have to bake it every week.
Do you have a useless talent?
Probably. Let me think. What is my useless talent? Maybe it's not useless. It can probably be sometimes annoying, but I'm a like over researcher. So I will research. Like my goal is for all of the links to be purple in Google when I'm done with a thing. And then it's like, okay, now I'm done. Because Google has run out, like not maybe not all the pages, but like the first one to two pages. Like if I've hit those and I'm like, OK, I've got the good stuff.
What's your middle name?
Alexandria.
OK. Is there a book that has influenced you?
I mean, again, besides the Bible, I read Let Me Be a Woman by Elizabeth Elliot. And then I also read Thinking and Feeling with the Psalms or something like that. We read it when we were in the community group together and we're at Cassie and Tristan's. Yeah, I really, really loved that. I had never processed through the different styles of Psalms like that. So I think those two books were really, really impactful.
Is there any human that has changed the course of your life?
I mean, obviously my parents.
Yeah.
They've had a huge impact on my life. And I talk to them all the time. And they've been really, even if we don't agree, they're great people to just run ideas off of and think things through. Like, it's helpful to have a sounding board. And they are definitely my sounding board.
What's your favorite smell?
Tropical anything, but not like artificial, but like genuine tropical, like mango.
My brain started to like ideate or something, and then you said artificial. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, not artificial. Artificial smells give me an instant headache and make my eyes water.
Do you find the match for your socks when you do laundry?
Nope. Mm. Sometimes. I also started buying like all socks of the same color, so. Doesn't matter.
That is one method. That's a good one.
That's the solution.
Do you have any home edit projects you're working on?
Oh, I'm getting chickens in like 5 days. So I've been kind of scrambling, figuring out what I'm going to do with them. Okay. I have a coop.
I'm going to say, house.
I have a coop. I think I need to touch up some stuff. So that's probably the home project. And then I keep saying I need to plant my tomato plants. I got them last week and I have not planted them yet. So I need to do that.
What's your exact favorite spot in your home?
Ooh, I really like my kitchen. I like baking and cooking and doing things like that. And I really, really like my kitchen and like dining area. Yeah, I would say probably my kitchen.
Okay. If I ran into you at a restaurant, where would you be?
Probably somewhere I had never been before. I don't go to the same restaurant, like local restaurants twice usually. I feel like everything closes so quickly that I'm always like, oh, I need to go to that place. I need to go to that place. So maybe somewhere in Carytown or downtown Richmond.
What about a place in scripture encouraging to you?
I really, really love reading like Genesis, but it's probably a really weird one, but I really enjoyed reading Judges. Like I read all the way through scripture, and Judges is like wild. Okay. There's a lot happening. Jail is there. Like there's a bunch of stuff happening, but I think it was really interesting. It's really interesting reading Genesis and reading Judges because you see how God is so faithful to people and how human beings are just basically garbage most of the time.
Yeah.
And just like consistently disobedient even after God has just done something. Mm-hmm. And I think when I was little, I would be like, I would never do that, and then go about my life. And then as I got older, I realized how many ways I do that, where it's like God has been so faithful and consistent in my life, and I am not. Certainly not perfectly obedient. And so there's so many areas where I'm like, I am the Israelites. And for the 20 billionth time being disobedient, and I need to repent and turn back to Jesus. But I think it's just really cool seeing how God, you know, the quote where it's like, we're not held by our strength, but by God's strength, right? Like, and I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. you have totally ran out of time like 10 minutes ago, but I'll give you a couple more questions. If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
Well, I would probably get a bigger house. One that like I could have more animals on at some point and like could build a mother-in-law suite for my parents to try and convince them to come to Richmond.
I like it.
I would definitely have farm animals, 100%.
See, I knew cow.
Oh, yeah. In there. Want in a cow, there. Want some goats, maybe some ducks. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you going anywhere on vacation this year?
I don't think so. I don't have any like specific vacations planned. I do a lot of staycations because like I like being able to just get up and get coffee with ladies and like spend time with people and not have to go to work. So yeah. That's probably what I'll end up doing this summer.
Okay. Okay. How about this? Do you have a tradition you observe in your household? And then I'll ding ya.
I mean, I try to clean Saturday morning. No.
Well, I'm digging you on that. Boo. That's hilarious. That's funny. All right. How about this? Where do you live, Joel, in, meaning your neighborhood? And how long have you been there?
I live in Manchester. I've been there about 2 years now.
Who's in your household?
It's me and my dog, Freddie.
And how long have you been coming to Remnant?
4 years. Well, it'll be 4 years in August.
Who invited you and what is your current community group?
My current community group is Ben and Elena Roland. I always say not Josh, not Joe, Ben and Elena. They invited me when they were going to plant. And so we'll have our like 3 year groupiversary in July.
Mm-hmm. And who initially invited you to Remnant? What's the refresh on that? You found it yourself?
Yeah, I had heard about it. So one of my roommates had visited Remnant and I was looking for a different church because I was going to another one in the area and it was attached to the campus ministry I was at. So I was there kind of blooming where I was planted. But I was like, I want to find a different church. They didn't have expository style preaching. And so I was looking for a church that did that. And I had heard of Remnant and I knew that Sky and Jeremiah were going there. And then one of my roommates had visited. So that's kind of how I heard about it. It was kind of through the grapevine.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to jump in to your garden section.
Yeah.
And the first question is a planning question. Mm-hmm. Do you have any desires or dreams for your future?
Yeah. I feel like I have a lot. I mean, ideally, one day I would love to be a wife and a mom. I want a lot of kiddos. I love kids. So that's one. Shorter term, I am working at a finance company and I'm really, really grateful that I was blessed with a really good job with a lot of opportunities. And so I'm pursuing some designations and some licensure that my boss is actually paying for me to do.
Great.
So it's such a blessing. And so I'm doing that right now.
In your free time.
In my vast free time. I'm studying for an exam that's scheduled in 3 weeks, which means I have to study. And then the other thing I'm doing is I am theoretically planning on running the half marathon this fall.
Ooh.
I ran the 10K this spring and I want to run a full marathon before I'm 30. We'll see if that happens, but I want to run the half this fall.
Okay. Is that the one that's like 20? Oh, 13. Okay.
13 is the half. The 24.1 or something like that is the full.
Okay. So which is your dream?
So short term, I'm running the half in this fall in 2024. Okay. And then next year, I want to run the full. We'll see what happens.
I'll ask you why in a second. Okay. But let's let's go back to the mom and the wife. Mm-hmm. So is this something you said you really love kids? Is this just a really strong thing that you imagine or, you know, kind of so-so? It's just like, yes, of course I desire this.
I think there's a lot that goes into it. It's definitely something that I've always really wanted. I've always wanted to get married and have kiddos. Like, I've always loved children, even when I was a child. And I think families are just so cool. So, yeah.
So you're such a caring person, as I said in your first episode. And so while you have this desire to, like, put your care in towards the husband and to kids, where does that go right now in your life, would you say?
I think a large part of it is just, like, blooming where I'm planted and, mm-hmm. and being a good steward of what I have right now. Like, I think something I've learned, especially over the past like 8 years being in Richmond, is like life usually looks different than you imagined it to. And so what's really important is being able to be faithful where you're at. And so I know that what I imagine being a wife and a mom to look like will probably be different than what I like have in my head.
Yeah,
and so even as life looks different now, I'm just aiming to be faithful and consistent and be deeply in community and love on people and love on kiddos in the way that I'm able to at this point.
So you try not to anticipate too much?
No, I think that it can be bad to do that too far. You know, I it's something that I want, but it's not something that I can control. And so I try not to focus too hard on it, because when you can't control something, then it's just more frustrating to just think about it all the time. So, I've definitely really just been really intentional about work, because that's not something that I never imagined I would be as far in my career as I am right now. Like, that was just never on my radar. And it was really just like long obedience of being intentional and having a real conviction about working hard and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And God's just blessed me with great opportunity after great opportunity. And so, you know, again, life looks different than you expect, but what's important is that I'm diligent where God has me, and where God has me right now is working.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Back to the crazy thing you're going to do. So are you a runner? Sounds like no.
Not really.
Yeah.
So like, context, I'm relatively in shape. I'm not like super in shape, let's be clear, but I like ran and walked the 10K and was like fine. And I had done like a couple runs before that. Maybe I ran like 5 or 6 times before the 10K and I hadn't really run at all. Like that was, that was it. So I'm relatively fit. I'm going to have to run a lot more in order to do the half. So I need to like, I think I'm going to try and start training in like June or July for it. I travel for work in July, and so there's a 10K, so I might run that to try and like have another landmark for myself to like run something else before the half. But yeah,
you think you'll try and pull anybody into it?
Yeah, I was trying to pull my dad into it. He's got some like knee stuff right now, so I don't think he's gonna do that, but I might try and get a couple friends to run it with me. I have a lot of friends that are more athletic than me, which is probably good. So we'll see. But I may end up running it myself. I tend to run slow, so I usually end up running by myself anyway. So,
all right. So you said you had this goal before you were a certain age. Mm-hmm. Is that like common for you to have bucket list kind of ideas?
Yeah. So I wanted to buy a house before I was 30. I did. Praise the Lord. And I feel like I had a couple things. I was like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this before I'm 30. And running a marathon was one of them. So we'll see if it actually happens. We'll see how the half goes. But I would really love to run the full marathon next year, which it's a big time commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with one of my friends about how big of a time commitment it was. But I really do want to do it. So we'll see what happens. I've kind of taken it in stages, which is why I want to do the half this year and kind of gauge, do I like running that much? Do I still want to do the full marathon after I've done the half? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been in my head for a while. So we'll see what happens.
Why do you think it caught your attention? Like, probably want to do this in my life. Is it because it's maybe outside of something you can do and it's like to test yourself? Or
part of it is the discipline piece. Like, I feel like I am like relatively active, but I'm not like consistently active. And so one, it's just a good for building habits. And two, when I was in the campus ministry, one of my mentors was like, your life is never going to be as bit free as it is right now. And that has been so true for every phase of my life. I think back to like middle school and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. And then I go into high school and I'm dancing almost double what I was in middle school. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so busy. And then I go to college and like every phase of life is generally speaking busier than the last. And so I'm like, well, I would love to run a marathon. And that's not something that I necessarily will have on my radar when I have husband and kids and all those things. But in this phase of life, like I've got the free time to do it. So
cool.
Figured might as well try it.
All right, let's move to sewing. And is there something being sown into your life right now? And these are seeds that are new.
Yes. There's a lot of things, exciting things happening right now. I think that I am still working on the time management piece. I think I tend to overcommit myself on things. So if I have time to spare, I will probably fill it with something, which is good and bad. But I think I've had some shifts in my personal life more recently. And so I've had to like kind of prioritize time management a little bit more, of just like making sure I'm leaving work on time or not crazy late. And having a dog helps me with that a lot, because I tend to lean into the workaholic side of things. Again, I want to do a good job, and part of it's that identity piece that I tend to kind of revert back into. But having a dog also helps me set boundaries, because he cannot be home for endless periods of time.
Yeah.
And it is societally acceptable to say, I have to leave because my dog's been home since 7:30 this morning. And so usually I'm pretty good about not working when I get home. But yeah, there's been some shifts that just mean I need to be even more intentional about time management.
Is that something that you're like, okay, I've read some books to figure, I've done my Google search to figure this out, or is like, you're just figuring it out on the fly. Skills doesn't mean they come naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of it is just like, as life shifts, mm-hmm. your habits shift. And so I'm in that shift right now of like shifting my habits of like having more free time and like being able to work a little bit later, or being able to work when I get home, and not having as much time now, having to be more efficient with my time. And part of that is like, I just started my new role, just started. It was like 5 months ago, but I don't have anybody training me on it. So I'm kind of, we use the phrase, we're building the plane as we're flying the plane, which is literally what's happening. So I'm building the structures as I'm doing the things for my job. And I'm really grateful because my boss has been absolutely fantastic with me, so flexible, so patient as I'm learning. And so I feel like I'm finally getting to the hang of that. And as I get in the hang of things, I can increase my efficiency. But yeah, that's been, it's just been an efficiency and yeah, it's been an efficiency thing mm-hmm. of like, how can I use my time intentionally and well and get things done that need to get done.
It's interesting that I think you just said maybe 30 seconds ago, you just mentioned the identity piece again. Mm-hmm. And that could be potentially very challenging to just maybe just stop somewhere mm-hmm. and be like, done for the day, mm-hmm. just done. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing is like, I do feel really convicted that like work is a good thing, and that's what God designed us to do, right? Like in the garden, they were working the garden. It wasn't the same after the curses, but like I feel very convicted that doing your job well and doing it intentionally and to an excellent level mm-hmm. is a reflection on how you serve God, right? And I've been blessed that has been rewarded, but I also am a like, do what needs to be done. I always aim to set the stage for doing what needs to be done. So that means a lot of times when I start a new role, that means I need to work later because I don't know what I'm doing and
yeah.
it has to get done. And if I can't get it done before 5, then maybe I need to stay till 5:30, sometimes 6 in order to get it done. But I am aiming for the trajectory of getting things done in a normal work day. And so mm-hmm. I have been able to cut it back. I'm getting closer to like a 5:30. And again, this is a personal thing. It's not like anybody's telling me at work I have to stay till 5:30. But again, people are counting on me to get things done. So working on that efficiency piece helps me to be able to balance my personal life better as well.
So you had mentioned that seasons of life kind of affect this for you. Is mm-hmm. that something that you feel like is changing all the time? Or are you just talking about super broad seasons?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to probably keep it pretty broad. But there's just been some shifts that mean that I need a little bit more time outside of work to prioritize other things. So I've just been trying to be more efficient at work so that I have time to prioritize things in personal life more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and other two things I've been focusing on sewing is just intentionally reading scripture every day. I've been meeting up with another girl from church on Saturdays to read Psalms, and I meet with Jess on Wednesdays to read scripture, and I've been really working on more consistent Bible reading for me.
There's like 15 Jesses in our church. Maybe 20.
15. Yeah, exactly. There's so many. Jess Simpson is who I usually go over to her house at 6:30 in the morning and bother.
Nice. Okay, so you did send to me, though. This was very mysterious. Answers to prayers.
Yes. Again, it's a super broad and vague thing. But yeah, part of the shifts in my personal life have been some answers to prayers. So I've just had to make some adjustments.
Did you struggle with faith in the meantime for this? Without you wanting, you want to keep it vague, but yeah. That they would even be answered? Was it a surprise to you? They're like, hey, there's something green in the ground. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, I think it was kind of surprising. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was really interesting, but it was kind of surprising, but yeah.
Okay. How about I'll go for this angle? Maybe you can answer it this way. Just saying that your parents were such strong examples of faith for you. Mm-hmm. Have you observed in your life someone praying for something? Maybe took a long time, or just do you have any thoughts on how you've thought about prayer in your life, I guess, how you approach it?
Yeah, my mom is, just so good about praying for every little thing all the time. And I'm just really used to that growing up, whether it was like we're passing an accident on the side of the road and she says a prayer for that person, or she's in the kitchen doing dishes and she just starts praying for someone that God brings to mind. And so I'm okay at praying. I feel like I'm not as consistent about intentional prayer of like praying through a list of people, which is something I'm working on. But I feel like that's something I've been working on more recently as well, is just like praying specific prayers and trusting that God will answer them.
Mm. So would you say you're sowing specific prayers into your life?
Yeah, I guess so.
I feel like the really annoying character in Harry Potter, Rita Skeeter, like, who says the thing that Harry doesn't say. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. I haven't read the Harry Potter series. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, there's a character where she's interviewing him for the newspaper. She'll ask him a question, and then she writes down, like, basically the exact opposite of what he says. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, it's funny. He's like, wait, I didn't say that. All right, let's just move straight to watering.
Okay.
Okay, what is the watering section?
So what have I been watering? So again, I am my mother's daughter. I like to be busy. I like to be productive. It's something I kind of prioritize. And so one thing that in this season of singleness I've been prioritizing is just like a lot of cool things that I want to do that like I have a lot of mom friends who are like, that's just not the phase of life I'm in. So literally something as simple as like, I wanted to learn how to do sourdough. So I'm learning how to do sourdough. I'm actually working on the biggest project I've ever made so far. I'm making a gift for a friend. I won't say what it is in case she listens to it.
Okay.
But I'm making a gift for a friend and just decided to pick up crocheting again. I think my next thing is I really wanted to make my brother a cake for his birthday before he left. He loves strawberry cake. And so I really want to be able to make one when he comes back. So I want to learn how to bake like a nice cake and be able to bring birthday cakes to people. And they're actually nice. So it's also really good for like keeping busy. Like I think in singleness, it can be really hard if you're just not filling your time with fruitful things. And so it's really nice to feel like, okay, I accomplished something. I did something besides work, which I'm grateful for. And I feel like I've done great in my career up to this point. But it's nice to be able to do stuff in personal life that's also fulfilling. So
yeah,
that's been.
Do you kind of get whims and go for it? Or is it really specific, like, my brother, I want to do this. My friend, I want to do this.
I go through kicks. I'm on a crocheting kick right now. And I always joke that it'll last for a while and then I won't do anything again for until next year this time.
Okay.
So I kind of just ride the wave until I'm like, okay, I'm over it. And
I'm getting a visual.
Yeah. By the time I'm almost done with a wave, then usually something else pops up. Like I don't make a particular list. I'm just like, well, whatever I'm into when I get there, I'll just do that next.
Can I get on your cake wave?
Yes. Yes. Well, I will be making cakes, so I'll have to give them to people.
Sweet. How about this? So what happens if you stink at something you try?
This is going to sound really arrogant. I haven't actually been that bad at the things okay. I've tried. Like, I feel like my parents did a really good job at making me a pretty well-rounded person. So, like, there are some sports that I'm not great at. Like, I'm not great at soccer, not great at basketball or football. Like, I can throw a football, but I'm not like, oh, yay, I can play basketball. I can play. Like, that's just not a thing. But, like, most of the time, if you can read the directions, you can do it. Like, I just, there's a
you can like, passing grade.
Yeah, there's this reel going around where it's like I have this intense belief that whatever it is, I could probably just do it. And, like, that's kind of how I roll. I'm like, it'll be fine. It's not that hard. So that's kind of how I roll.
Since you mentioned a couple things you're doing individually, is there anything that you are trying that's with somebody else?
Not right now. I mean, like I said, me and Corey have been meeting to do Bible reading, which has been cool. And then me and Jess Simpson have been meeting to do Bible reading. And that's been really fruitful. I've been going over to Jess's house for probably over a year now. And then Corey and I started meeting up on Saturday mornings to read the Bible at the beginning of this year. And that's been really cool, too.
Sweet.
It's been cool to build that relationship.
All right, Jules, you sent me your notes a little bit ago and maybe changed what you wanted to talk about on the air. So is there something else maybe you want to insert in this category in your active tending, stewarding, or prayers?
Yeah. So my brother is in the military and he is off out and about doing stuff and things that you do in the military. And so that's been a big shift for my family. So my brother has definitely been someone on my prayer list just for his safety. You know, being in the military is a whole another category of thing. And we are so incredibly proud of him. But just praying for him that he continues to grow in Jesus and continues to know him more. And that it's just a good experience for him overall. I'm excited for him, but we definitely miss him because it's just different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been praying for him a lot.
Something that I had written up in response to something that you'd put mm-hmm. in the sewing section, but it's probably relevant here, is just how a second ago you talked about reading the Psalms and then also praying with other people, mm-hmm. which I thought was really good and not to be missed. Mm-hmm. But just this word like infrastructure, because you talked about skills in a couple mm-hmm. sections and just new things you're learning and desiring to do. But at the same time, there's this word like infrastructure that no matter what the changes might be in your mm-hmm. life, like actually what is underneath you? What is the structure that that God is building in you, even if the seasons change or your skills change or the different wave washes over you or under you or whatever. I just thought that that was something to just maybe pull out, is that you are not just like the dog that's like, oh, I see a squirrel here, I see a squirrel there, I see a squirrel there. It's like, actually, no, I want to know God more fully. I want like the infrastructure as well as that outer me. I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Yeah, two things. One, so the two things God's growing me in through this is one, dependence on him, because again, things don't go how you've like mentally planned them out. Conversations with people, life, and you know what I mean? Even just mm-hmm. something as simple as like, oh, we're going to have this conversation, and then it doesn't go because what you made up for that person in your head isn't exactly what they said, you know? And so walking through life, being dependent on God and being grateful for the gifts he has given me, even the ones I didn't necessarily ask for, but they're still gifts. And then also, it's funny because I have had a significant shift in the past like 5 years or so in just growth around flexibility. I feel like I tend to default to a very like black and white, really structured person. And there are a lot of areas that I still am that. Anybody I work with or anybody that knows me knows that I'm a pretty like regimented person, but I've actually grown a lot in flexibility. And so the fact that I don't have a list I'm necessarily checking off for what I'm going to do next, or, you know, I'm trying to read 24 books this year. I don't have a list. I have some books that I could read, but as they pop up, I'm just like, okay, we're going to read that one next. And being okay with not having every moment of my life planned out. It's just a testament to how God's grown me as far as like peace and not being anxious about not every single little thing being planned out to a T.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is really good. And I was kind of smirking. I don't know if you could see me behind this giant microphone, but isn't it interesting how you could spend the majority of your life learning to make your body flexible?
Yeah.
And doing that and probably being really, really good. I mean, I can just imagine what you can do or what the toes you can touch. Yeah. Oh my. And then like you're saying, but the inside of you, that infrastructure was like, oh, that's rigid.
Yes.
You know, we got to stretch that out. And so that is part of maturity. I think you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was this podcast or the other one. The maturity is like, okay, what is this integration? What is this full, I can't think of the word. I guess, I don't know, integrity, I guess. That the inside and the outside kind of match, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Let's move to your training and pruning. So what in your life doesn't feel good right now, but is good?
I think that something that I've been on a little bit of an ebb and flow of consistency, but reading scripture every day is something that I'm not great at. I have intentionally added a lot of things into my week that mean that I don't go too long without reading scripture, but that's not always just like personal Bible reading. So that's something I'm really working on and something I need to grow in. I think I put this in another section as well, but another thing I'm growing in is just like emotional maturity, if that makes sense. Like something is still just like controlling my emotions and being aware of them as well is something that I have to be intentional about. It kind of rolls over, like I said, into another section, but how I say things and what I say and like controlling my emotions and not being just overrun with, if I'm frustrated in something that somebody did, taking a deep breath and saying, okay, we got to let it go. We got to move forward. We got to, you know, control your emotions. And that's something that I'm not a grudge person, but I am a sudden emotion person. So like I have an emotion and it's a thing. And then, okay, I've let it go because I realized now I was overreacting and that was really dramatic. So I don't need to hold a grudge. But in that moment, I'm really frustrated. And it's partly because I am that like, I have that black and white. So I have an expectation of how a thing should go.
Gotcha.
And if it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, well, now I don't know what to do. I didn't prepare for this scenario. And yeah, so that's kind of that.
Okay, so if you kind of put that into two sections, mm-hmm. let's pull that up into the training and pruning section. So how does that not feel good specifically?
Well, controlling your emotions isn't fun. It's actually much more fun to just like lean into whatever you're feeling because you feel that self-righteousness and you're like, I am right here. And sometimes I am. But that does not mean how I'm feeling is right or how I'm reacting to it is correct. And so being able to balance me sometimes being right, you know, like if at work something happens and I'm like, okay, well, everybody just did this wrong and now I gotta fix it. Taking a moment and saying, okay, how can I strategically do this? How can I be intentional about being kind and responding well? Just that self-control piece of, okay, I'm not ruled by my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What about the consistent daily Bible reading doesn't feel good?
It basically means I need to either get up early or carve out time out of my day, which is just hard for me. I already said that I'm a little bit of a workaholic and sometimes I work through lunch. Not always. I do generally do pretty good about taking my lunch, but I've been, since I am studying for exams, carving out time is actually harder right now. But I've been trying to carve out time either at lunch or before work, which I'm really bad at getting up early. It doesn't feel fun to get up early mm-hmm. in the morning. I usually get to work about 7:45, 8 a.m. So if I'm getting up early and I still have to shower and take out my dog, it's just like really early. So that's the part that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about you and you doing this race thing. And I'm like, okay, that sounds painful, but you're going to lean into it.
Yeah.
And that's like a training. And then, okay, the dancing, I'm like, in my mind, that sounds painful, but you leaned into it. But then I remember you saying how much you love it and desire it. Do you think that is something that maybe is we're thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that I can fall into complacency. I was really blessed that my parents gave me a really good basis of knowledge of scripture. And like, I did Awana, so I have a lot of scriptures memorized. And so there is a part of me that's kind of like, well, I do know, you know, I've read the Bible and like there's, I was convicted a couple of years ago when I realized how many times I had watched The Office, which I love The Office. It's hilarious. But I was like, I have not read the Bible as many times as I've watched all 9 seasons of The Office. And that was really convicting for me because I was like, is my life built around The Office or is it built around scripture? And so that's kind of been my nudge in the direction of like needing to read scripture more and wanting to intentionally read through the Bible on a regular basis. And so that's something that definitely need to continue to pray that God would develop that in me. But it's also just, again, self-control, a self-discipline of like making sure that that time is made because I have time in the day. I just have to make the time. So,
yeah, I had a similar like thing in my mind, how you had with The Office, like, okay, the integrity piece, like, do my actions show what I believe was the most important or whatever? Remember you mentioned Pastor James just a little bit ago, and I remember something that he said in a sermon is like, dead people aren't thirsty. And over again in scripture, God is calling out to the thirsty and the hungry.
Yeah.
And so I think his people are those people that are hungry and thirsty. And a lot of times my husband Ryan will tie Bible reading with actually hunger and the way we eat food.
Yeah.
And then when you said you don't eat breakfast, I'm like, maybe you don't know. Maybe you're not a hungry person. You need to tap into, I'm like thinking about myself too, because he's like, he counsels people or has been thinking about it on his own. Well, how do you normally eat food? Like eat the Bible like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to eat in the morning. You need the energy to go. Eat the Bible like that. You got to snack during the day.
Yeah.
Eat the Bible like those. You ate those cashews, baby. Like whatever. Yes.
I like that.
And just a little bit, because everyone has a food and eating habit. Like there's no person on this planet that is alive that doesn't eat every day. We all have to do it. So just using God's own words, like hunger and thirst and stuff. And then, I don't know, that's been helpful for me. And that changed me a little bit, even to the point where this is new. And I'm not even saying anyone else has to do this. But my hunger or thirst, if you will, in the morning is coffee right now, second I wake up. And I was like, whoa, based on what my husband says, I read the Bible after that, you know, and actually, yeah. So for me, just the discipline, not that it necessarily means anything, but what do I thirst for more? Mm-hmm. And so that's been kind of a new, very new, I'm going to say weeks in just like, okay, grabbing the Bible first. I want to practice being thirsty for that first. And just like the little ways that, I don't know, that God has been showing me through his word, like, okay, Lord, think about thirst, think mm-hmm. about hunger. I appreciate your just honesty in this category.
Yeah,
very much. So how about this? You wrote something else interesting in this category. And again, it was very mysterious. Two words, simple obedience.
Yes.
What is that?
It's exactly that. I feel like it sound really mysterious, but I feel like something that since coming to Richmond and especially coming to Remnant, I feel like everybody with my generation in the social media age wants to live this extraordinary, unique life. And some people are called to that. Absolutely. But I think that there's something really special about living a regular life of just simple and consistent obedience. Mm-hmm. Reading your Bible every morning, going to work Monday through Friday, hanging out with friends, going to community group, going to church, serving at church. Like, these are all really, like, unextraordinary things that are just simple obedience to what God calls a Christian to do. And so I feel like that's one of the reasons why I feel like growing and reading scripture consistently, and that's one of the reasons why I started going to Jess's on Wednesdays, is like, it's I get up early, I stay late at work. I can get up early one day a week and go to someone's house and read scripture. I used to do it when Chantel would host.
Yes.
And I did that as well. And it was so helpful. But just simple obedience is just following Jesus and doing what he says and just, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's something that maybe I'm just trying to think of how to respond. Like, well, one is, what's so hard about simple? Because this is in the hard section. And do you think it's, you mentioned like your generation or whatever. Do you think that it's hard kind of across the board, or maybe more for your generation? Or if you look at like your parents, was that maybe something easier for them? Or, you know, what's so hard about simple?
I mean, so I feel like people think simple and then they think easy is the synonym, but it mm-hmm. isn't always.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that are simple as a concept and not easy in execution. Like, the idea of running 13 miles is a simple concept.
Oh, yeah, you just start running. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows how to run, right? It's simple, but it's not easy. And I feel like, you know, like in scripture, the Christian life is described as running the race, right? Mm-hmm. It requires endurance. It requires consistency. It requires training, education and scripture and things like that. Like, simple obedience isn't easy because it's a lot of disciplines all rolled into one simple category. And so for me, I've been really working towards like checking things off the list of like, am I going to church every Sunday? Okay, cool. Yeah. Am I serving every Sunday or almost every Sunday? Okay, cool. We've checked that off. Am I going to community group? Am I serving people? And like, one of the things on that list is reading scripture every day.
Yeah.
Again, it's really simple. You know, we do a lot of, like you said, we eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
I cook most days. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I feed my dog every day, twice a day. It's a simple concept to read the Bible every day, but it's not always easy. And so that's why it's simple obedience, not easy obedience. It's mm-hmm. just, for me, trying to continue working on adding in those quote unquote simple things, but they're not always easy.
Right. I guess for me, something that where I was challenged by this was reading, well, all over the Bible, really, is there's chunks where there's lists of like these types of people, like characterize who is not in the kingdom of heaven, and mm-hmm. liars is in a lot of those lists. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gosh, you know? And I think reading in James, I said that a second ago, he talks a lot about being double-minded. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that is the same thing there. And so
it's like lies to self, right? Being double-minded.
Yes. Or, like the lack of integrity piece mm-hmm. of like, okay, I say I do, I believe this, but am I actually kind, you know? Mm-hmm. Do kind words actually, maybe I don't say mean things, but mm-hmm. am I actually kind, you know, or actually patient, or, you know, just, all of those things. So that was just interesting to have scripture shine a light on me, because when you said simple obedience and be like, okay, so I maybe ballooned myself out a little more mm-hmm. and I needed to deflate a little bit and kind of come back to like, actually, okay, what am I working with? And Jesus loves a humble heart. And yeah. So I've been pretty humbled by exactly what you're talking about. Just the, Ryan says, like, I guess we never get over basics, but he's like, man, I've just been lived. He has been leading our household to just go back in a lot of ways to just simple, mm-hmm. simple faith.
Yeah.
In so many ways, simple obedience of even, yeah, just having just more open prayer in our family, you know, more open Bibles. I am encouraged by what you said about your mom reading the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. The kids and I would read the Bible together maybe a couple times a week, but mm-hmm. this year I'm like, I think we should do this every day.
Yeah.
And I pray that never stops. And then just another obedience is singing. Like, that's kind of actually in there. Like, yeah. Make a joyful noise. That would definitely be a command sentence and all of those things. So all of these simple ways to go back to scripture and just say, I might know the scripture, but do I characterize that? Yeah. I think the struggle, not the struggle, but why it might be hard too is because if you're like me, that maybe there's a sense I actually want something about me to be the right thing mm-hmm. where it's like actually no, it's like Christ's righteousness that's the right thing.
Yeah.
And that it's the work that he's going to be doing in us. And so sometimes, yeah, I don't know.
No, I get that. I think for me, a lot of times it's like I like that part of myself, even if it's not great. Right. Mm-hmm. And being like, no, but I get why I do that. And I don't, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that kind of thing of, and that's where I've in several areas, but I've just had to pray for God to change my heart because sometimes for me, I'm just like, but I like the reasoning I have here and this makes sense to me. And it's like, no, God, please soften my heart and turn it towards you and what you have for me and what you call me to and not let me focus in on what I want, because it's in the nicest way possible, it doesn't really matter.
yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I love that you said soften my heart, Lord, because mm-hmm. I think what happens to us when we aren't yielding to his rightness is that we actually do get hard, like we mm-hmm. are rigid on the inside, kind of like we were talking about with flexibility and dance and all of these things.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the stubbornness and the rebelliousness and the, and none of that characterizes the women that we belong to
that
be.
We want
to
be.
Exactly. Yeah. Lord, help us all.
Please. Amen.
All right. We'll just go through the weeding and then we'll mm-hmm. get to the harvest. So another section that kind of stinks. But if you want to bring, let's see, you're talking about self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So how these weeds, you said it's been something over 5 to 10 years. You're like, dang it, these weeds, get out of my garden.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of it has been a level of awareness that I've had more of over the past several years. Mm-hmm. So I touched a little bit on like the emotional awareness. Like I feel like I have learned a lot about myself that is really helpful. It's hard to control your emotions if you don't know what you're feeling, because then they just come out of nowhere.
Sure,
So something that, again, like Richmond has been a really big catalyst for just a lot of growth for me, just simply because I was living on my own now and it's just different, right? And so even knowing my own habits and bents, things that I tend to do that make me more anxious, things that I do that aren't always the kindest ways that I communicate, that I have a lot of room to grow. And I think that in my best moments, I do great and I'm really aware of it. And in my worst moments, it's not great. But I think the blessing is that I'm aware of it. And so I can slowly but surely chip away at it. Like a lot of it are a lot of things that come to mind, like communication style is really hard to change. Like it's not an overnight change, right? It takes time. And I feel like, not in an ambivalent way, but I'm okay with the fact that it's going to take time to change. Not that I won't try to, but, you know, in the same way that you're trying to so I'll give an example. So I used to say sorry anytime someone would cross in front of me or anything like that, say sorry. And I don't actually mean sorry. I mean, excuse me.
Yeah.
Right. But I had to like get out of the habit of saying sorry and replace it with a different word. So now I usually will say pardon mm-hmm. because it's not saying sorry, because if you almost ran into me, I'm not sorry. But it is part of me because that's polite.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me months to stop saying sorry. So like I would go from saying sorry to like half saying it and be like, dang it, I said sorry. Next time I need to say pardon. And then I would like not say sorry. And I would just like it would be a really delayed pardon. And so I just wouldn't even say it because I didn't say sorry. And then, you know, a couple months later, now it's finally a habit and it's in my vocabulary. And I feel like communication styles that you've done for long periods of your life, it's not going to go away overnight.
Yeah.
It's a step by step. But I see fruit and in my awareness and still lots of room to grow. But something that I've been really blessed at work is just working with a lot of people who are different from me, who communicate different, who think different, whose brains process things differently, and working on increasing my effectiveness in communication and even like finding that line between being direct and not being rude.
Yeah.
And also not being abrasive, because I feel like just because something is true doesn't mean you have to say it in the most abrasive way possible, right? Like you can say something that's true and uncomfortable and still be kind about it.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot of intentionality. So that's an area I have been working on and I'm still working on and still have a long way to go, but I've improved.
It'll serve you well.
Yeah.
Well, can I just ask you maybe how you've prayed about this? Like what has been your plea?
It's been a lot of just like, Lord, help me to just be kind. You know, it's something I definitely need to pray more intentionally about. But I feel like it's something that in everyday life, it pops up all the time of like, whether I'm communicating with coworkers or communicating with friends or communicating with my parents, and like, I can be sharp or I can say things. And I feel like God has been really gracious and has grown me. There are still some areas where maybe I'm a little more sharp, but I feel like at least I'm intentional about choosing my words, more so than I have been in the past. So, yeah.
Well, no matter what, and however like this path goes, as God's like growing in you, whatever it is, it's going to be a harvest of peacefulness in your life. What's wonderful about the Lord is as he grows us in all of these things, it's actually going to yield good things. It's just, you know that you're not going through it all just to get to the end and there's like a desert there or something. You know, God is always bringing us back to his stream. He's always reviving us. He's always giving us good things, and he's always giving us himself. Absolutely. Yeah. So as you walk through this. Yeah.
And one other thing also is like the other piece I've been growing in is like people don't like direct communication. And so trying to find the line between like, am I really being mean or am I just being clear and not beating around the bush? Because one thing that I do, especially at work, and I'm working on it, is I am like, we're here to work. Let's do the job.
We're in an anti-authority culture, Jewel. Like being clear is authoritative.
So I walk in and I'm like, okay, I have a question. And I have not said hi, which is not really polite. But I will like roll up and be like, okay, I've been thinking through this thing for 20 minutes. Tell me about, you know, and then I'm like, I'm sorry. Hello. How are you? And like learning, again, James always says like know someone's frame, right? And so knowing different people and how they respond to different styles of communication is also a skill that I'm working to build, of just being able to be like, okay, this person is tracking with me. They're a direct get in and out type of person.
Yeah.
I can pop in and say what I need to say, get my answer and roll, and no one's going to feel some type of way. Some people need a little more pleasantries of like, hi, how are you? And that like connection piece, because I'm like, I don't, it's just not a high level priority for me. I'm like, okay, cool. How can I help? Like, what do we need to
do?
That's
your connection.
That's me. So yeah, that's been another thing, but.
I get it.
Yeah.
Do you want to roll into your harvest or anything you want to pull out of the weeds?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, related to the weeding is the harvest. Like, I feel like I'm really grateful for, I didn't write this down, but I'm really grateful for Remnant and the community I have here. I feel like there's a big harvest just in like genuine friendships with a lot of great people who I love and they love me, and you and Ryan and y'all's family have been such a blessing to me, and there are so many families that are at our church that have been just such a blessing to me, and mentors and sisters and just pouring time in, and I think that's a real blessing. Like my community here is just incredible, and I didn't have the perspective of what that looked like until I came to Remnant, and now I'm just like, this is what the Acts Church was like, you know what I mean? Like I see people loving each other and serving each other and bringing meals and pouring time and effort and energy and, you know, all these things. And it's just such a huge harvest to see so many people, and even seeing like our 1 through 8 Young adults has been so cool because there's so many people in 1318 now that were like 10 or 9 when I started going to Remnant. And I'm like, you guys are teenagers now. And it's just really cool to see what the long obedience of all these other parents looks like, right? Like, I'm grateful because I had a lot of people who poured into me when I was a young adult. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to pour into our young adults, because it makes a big difference when someone who's 20-something says the same thing your parents said to you. And it made a big difference for me. And I think it makes a big difference for people in that age group, because it's really easy to think, oh, my parents don't know what they're talking about. Like, they're older now. But if someone who's, you know, I think that there's two sides, right? Like, you do forget some of the things over time of what it was like in that phase. Like, you have a memory, but my dad's always like, oh my gosh, I forgot so much. I'm like, you did. Yeah. It's been a long time. And I feel like I'm a lot closer. So, you know, I've forgotten some things, but I still remember what it's like. But I think that it is a blessing to have a diverse group of ages in your church to be able to pour into people and, you know, teenagers and just continue directing them in the right direction that their parents are already doing, but have that extra voice of like, hey, your parents are not crazy. They know what they're talking about. They're not wrong. So that's been a cool harvest.
And you're giving, like, you just embodying, being yourself is like a closer in age to, say, like my Ava. And she's like, oh, I can be like Jewel. Where, I mean, I think she does say, I want to be like my mom, but still, I'm a little long ways off. but you're like, could be a goal. Like, I want to be like Jewel, which is why you were one of the women that I invited to her 13th birthday party, because you are a mentor in her life and someone that she wants to be like.
So. Yeah. I think it's that. And then the communication piece, like, I feel like I am starting to see fruit. It's still something that I'm weeding, still something I'm tending, but I'm seeing some growth. I feel like it's interesting because I've interacted with people at work and I'm like, hey, I was really sharp with you. I'm sorry about that. Like, I'm really working on that. And I don't think that's something that people always say. Like, something that I've seen as a harvest at work is just, I am a person that is readily, I aim to be a person that readily takes ownership for mistakes that I've made and works to improve them. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Like, I do know people who are like, oh, I didn't make a mistake. I made a mistake. You know, they're like kind of hiding behind it. I'm like, no, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I did this and this to fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. It won't happen again. And I think that's part of why I've been really blessed, is that I take ownership. I'm like, hey, I dropped the ball. I'm really sorry. This is how I plan to do better next time. And cool, we can move on.
I love that you actually shared the example that was tied to a different example you just shared. You said you were saying sorry inappropriately when, like, you were cutting someone off or someone cut, whatever. And then now you're like, actually, no, I'd use this word here.
Yeah.
This is where it goes. This is a situation it belongs in, and I really mean it, instead of words like kind of being muddled or whatever. Yeah, that's cool. I heard someone say recently that the Christian life isn't work we do and offer it to God. Mm-hmm. It's work that he does in us.
Yeah.
And so I think this fruit or harvest yield, the section that you're in, is only because he's been farming. And we are saying, hey, my heart is available soil to you.
Yeah.
God, like, it's available for you to tend. And so, like, any yield in bounty or growth is related to our yield in the sense of, like, posture towards God.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a beautiful reminder. Like, we know it, but it's just the reminder. It's like, yes, he is actually at work here. He's so close to us. He's like, he's not going to let his people go. He's not going to fail. He's going to grow things in your garden. And we can just expect harvest and rejoice. So I'm rejoicing with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say something else that was interesting to me. When I was looking over the notes that you sent me, I'm like, Jewel has a theme of time. Like, time is all over the place. If anyone's listening and goes back and just notices how many times we said time or how much time was all over the place in here. You talked about... let's see. Just answers to prayers that you prayed over time, your time management skills. Mm-hmm. You talked about conviction over how you spent your time, this Thoughts of the Future, which is also time. You're Running, which will be timed.
It will be timed, yes. It will be slow, but it will be timed.
Yeah, there's just so many things that's just interesting. So, yeah.
And I then
your
daily
Bible
to...
routine. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's a testament to the fact that, like, the Christian life isn't a, like, light switch where you go from, you know, unsaved to fully sanctified, right? Mm-hmm, like, it happens... Again, back to the simple obedience. Like, yes. The Christian life is simple obedience over time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so quite opposite of, I guess, I'm just thinking of, like, being, like, strapped in a chair where you're, like, augmented reality or something where it's, like, okay, if I'll just think about Christian things or think about loving God, and then someday I'll, like, pop out of the chair and be, like,
perfect.
You know, now I'm ready for service, Lord. It's, like, yeah. Actually, no, it's the... obedience is actually a path, you know, it's yep. God's straight path that he leads us on. It's like the movement, the way we are going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been so fun talking to you, Joel.
It's been fun talking with you, too.
Yay.
It's been great to catch up.
Did you finish your coffee?
I did not. I finished half of it.
Okay. Well, how do you want to close this out tonight?
So, like I said, Corey and I have been reading Psalms, and I came across Psalms 20 a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to read that. I thought it was a really cool psalm, and it just felt like such a prayer, and as I was reading it, it felt like a prayer that I would love to pray over my kids one day. So I wanted to read that and share.
Okay, well, before you do, because now I'm intrigued, why are you tying your kids to this?
Yeah, so I read it, and it was just sounded like something that you would, so if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof, they have this prayer that they say over their kid, like, may the Lord protect and defend you. May he always bring you, you know, like, I don't know. It had some similar ring to me. Like, I did a lot of musicals and dance growing up, and I really loved that song because I thought it was just so beautiful. Like, my parents pray over us all the time, even now, and they prayed over us a lot as children, both in front of us and not necessarily in front of us. And so that's something that, I don't know, is on my radar to just... do one day. Like, I think music is really cool and prayer is really powerful, and I, you know, when I have kids, I want to model that for them. So it just felt like the prayer you pray over a kid.
Okay.
Like, it felt like this is a prayer you pray over your children. I don't know.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. All right. So Psalm 20, trust in the name of the Lord our God. This is in the ESV. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.